Good morning, church. Excited to worship the risen Lord with our friendship family today. We're starting a new series, and the series is called Standing Out in a Culture of Compromise. As followers of Christ, how do we stand in a culture that is becoming increasingly hostile toward God? Everyone say stand out. How do we stand out in the right way, at the right time, and for the right reasons? I believe these next two messages could impact your life in a significant way, because when we stand out in the right ways, at the right time, for the right reasons, we know that it can change the trajectory of your life. And I would also say the flip side of that is also true. Friend, when you compromise on the wrong things, in the wrong ways, and at the wrong times, it will cost you far more than you could ever imagine. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to discover how to take a stand for the things that matter most. Daniel, in the Old Testament, Daniel was exiled to the most wicked city of his day, to a city where temptation and intimidation ran deep. And how did he stand strong in a culture of compromise? Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to study the book of Daniel. Specifically, we'll zero in on four stories from this book. And today we're talking about standing out, so I need you to put on your thinking cap, because we're going to do a little work today. We're going to lay a foundation that will carry us through the weeks to come. So we'll start in Daniel 1. Let me give you some of the backstory. King Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon. He is an evil king who is set upon destroying Jerusalem. I mean, this guy was so evil, he didn't just destroy the city, but he burned the temple. And then to add insult to injury, the king went into the temple and he took all of their religious symbols and he crushed them. He destroyed them by fire, as if to say that the worship of your God is now obsolete. I'm going to take out anything that is remotely close to the worship of your one true God. And so Nebuchadnezzar not only destroyed the city and the temple and all the religious symbols, but to make matters worse, he was intent on destroying their future as well as their present. And so he ordered his leaders. He said, look, you need to find the brightest and the sharpest sons of royalty and kidnap them. He said, bring me the best of the best, and I want these men to be indoctrinated in Babylonian culture. We're going to train them for 3 years, and these young men, they're going to become future leaders in my government. You see, Nebuchadnezzar was not only intent upon destroying Jerusalem in the present, but he also wanted to destroy their future. And he did so by taking the best of the best and making them his leaders instead of their leaders. Now, that's an abbreviated version, but I think it provides the backstory that we need. It gives us the context we need as we continue our study in Daniel. So let's pick up the story. Daniel chapter 1, look in verse 3. It says, the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. So Nebuchadnezzar, he orders the court official, go find these Jewish men and bring them to me. Bring to me those who are most likely to succeed. I want the best of the best. Daniel goes on to say he, the court official, was to teach them, the young Jewish boys, teach them the language. The king wanted them to speak like we speak. And they were to teach them the literature of the Babylonians. The king wanted them to think like we think. And then the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. Now that's something that's important. We're going to come back to that. But just understand for now that the king wanted them to eat from the king's table. And then it says they were to be trained for 3 years. And after that, they were to enter the king's service. Now here's what I don't want you to miss. For this was a very intentional plan. It was a strategic plan. The plan was to indoctrinate these young boys into Babylonian culture. The king wanted them to think like Babylonians thought. He wanted them to behave like Babylonians behaved. He wanted them to believe the way that Babylonians believed. And church, I think it mirrors so much the strategy of our spiritual enemy, who wants those who are followers of Christ to think like he thinks, to believe like he believes and to behave like he wants us to behave. In fact, I believe Satan wants everyone on planet Earth to disregard the teaching of the one true God because he wants us to submit and to surrender to his systems. And so, friend, you need to know that there is a full-on spiritual attack against God's people today. As Satan lies, as he deceives, as he tries to lure God's people away from God's best, and he wants us to live according to a lower standard. That's why I would argue that it is completely impossible to be a casual Christian and have any kind of spiritual impact in this world. Listen to me, it is completely impossible to be what some have called a cultural Christian and have spiritual success. He said, Jason, what's a cultural Christian? Cultural Christians are everywhere. They're the people that when asked, do you believe in God? They would say, yeah, I believe in God. I go to church on Easter. Sure I do. I believe in God. I went to church on Christmas. I'm a Christian. I was born in this country, so I've got to be Christian, right? But when asked, is there any outward visible sign of your faith in Christ? They'd say, no, not really. There's no fruit in my life. There's no evidence in my faith. There's no evidence in the way that I live or the way that I operate or the way that I make decisions that I belong to God. In fact, I just don't take Christ too seriously. Church, this is very important. Please hear this. It is completely impossible to be a sort of or a kind of or a casual or a cultural Christian and still have any sort of spiritual success and victory against the temptations and against the darkness of this world. You cannot just kind of be in the family of God and have the spiritual victory that God wants you to experience. It's impossible. It'd be like saying, can you work out one time a year and still be physically in shape? And the answer is no. Guys, if you told your wife one time a year that you loved your wife, do you think she'd believe you? Probably not. Probably not. You can't go to church for 1 hour a week. For some of you, that'd be 50 minutes a week because you're always 10 minutes late, right? But you can't come to church for 1 hour a week and expect that your spiritual life is going to be impacted and going to be lived out the way that God wants it to be lived out. I mean, if you want to grow spiritually in your relationship with God, then you've got to make the presence of God a daily priority in your life. If you want to know the victory that comes through a personal relationship with Christ, then you've got to live in such a way that you are seeking Him and depending upon Him daily. You've got to learn to live in His Word. You've got to learn to allow the Scriptures to feed your spirit so that you can renew your mind, so that you can live the life that God has called you to live. Not walking by sight, but walking by faith. Friend, you cannot be a sort of or a kind of Christian and experience the victory that God wants you to have. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 6, Paul said, put on the full armor of God so that you can do what? What did he say? So that you can take your stand. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, and the belt of truth. And when your shoes are prepared with the gospel, the readiness of peace, you put on the full armor of God, and when the day of evil comes, you will be able to take your stand, to stand your ground. And after you've done everything else, to stand. Church, sometimes you have to take a stand for that which matters most. But when you do, you need to do it the right way, and at the right time, and for the right reasons. I would submit to you that if you're never standing out, friend, if you are always blending in with a crowd, then you are not truly committed to following Jesus. Because listen, when you follow Him, you will be different. Amen? Amen. You'll be different. When you follow Christ, you will be set apart. In fact, the word holy means what? It means to be set apart. Jesus said, be holy for I am holy. Friend, there are times in life when you have to stand out. As followers of Christ, there will be times that you have no choice but to go against the flow. And that's exactly what we see happen in the life of Daniel. It's what we see happen in the life of his friends. Daniel 1, look at verse 6. Among those who were chosen from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. The chief officials, they want to change two things about these Jewish boys. And the first thing that they want to change is that they want to change the names of the boys. You say, well, why? Why change their names? What's the point of that? Let's get a little more of the context. How old were these boys? The Bible doesn't tell us, but they were likely between the ages of 12 and 15. So we're thinking junior high, maybe freshman or sophomore in high school. These are young boys. And these boys, they are stripped of their identity. They're taken 1,000 miles away from home. They're crushed of all dignity. And the first thing the king orders is for their names to be changed. Oh, why is that? I think I know why. It's because their original names were all tied to the worship of Yahweh God. Every time the name their parents had given them, every time their name was called, it was a reminder for them that they were to worship and they were to serve Yahweh. And so the names that they were issued by Nebuchadnezzar, the new names are each tied to the worship of these false pagan gods. And so every time someone called them by their new name, it was a reminder that they were now required to serve these pagan gods. Every time someone said their name, it was a message. And the message was, you don't worship Yahweh any longer. You don't worship Him anymore. You worship these pagan gods, these false gods. These young men, they were stripped of their identity. And not only was there a name change, but secondly, the king wanted to change the diet of the boys. Court official had been instructed to feed them food from the king's table. They were to eat the food that was prepared for the king. And I don't know about you, but if I'm in their shoes, I'm thinking, sounds good to me. I mean, I want what the king wants. I want what he gets served. Go ahead and serve me some. But the problem was that the food prepared for the king, the meat and the wine, had been dedicated to pagan gods. And that created a problem for Daniel. Was a problem for his friends because they wanted to honor and worship Yahweh in every way possible. And if they were to eat or drink anything dedicated to pagan gods, they felt like it crossed the line. And for them, it meant they were being disrespectful to God. So I believe Daniel 1:8, I think this is the key verse of everything that we're going to look at today. Verse 8, the scripture says this, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Very interesting, and I want to make sure you catch this. When the court official wanted to change Daniel's name to Belteshazzar, did Daniel protest the change of his name? Nothing in Scripture that gives us any idea that he did. So Daniel did not fight when his name was changed or his name was taken. Daniel was like, you know, you can call me whatever you want to call me. You can tie me to whatever God you want to, but I know who I am, and my outward name does not define who I am in my heart, so call me what you want, but I know inwardly that I will always worship and know and serve the one true God. For Daniel, his name was not worth standing up for. So Daniel did not defend his own name. So when did you and I take a stand? We see Daniel took a stand when God's name was defamed. Daniel took a stand when God's name was insulted. Daniel said, I have resolved not to defile myself and eat this food. And I love this. The writer tells us that Daniel made a predetermined resolution. In other words, before the temptation was ever there, Daniel predecided what he would do. And what he would not do. He predecided. And that's the key to why he was so successful spiritually. You see, had he not predecided, when the food that was served to the king was placed in front of him, Daniel could have done what I've done so many times in my life when I've compromised and when I've rationalized. If I'm in Daniel's spot and the food is placed before me, I might have said, looks good. God's hands must be over this. It looks good. It looks enticing. It looks inviting. I might say, oh, I've got to eat something. I mean, I can't go without, and this is what I've got, and so I don't really have a choice. I could look and say, well, the other Jewish boys, they're eating it, and it doesn't look like God struck them down yet, so it's not that big of a deal. I've got to eat something.
But for Daniel, the key is that he predetermined. He resolved in his heart ahead of time. He made a decision before he was faced with a temptation. And his decision was that he was going to do what was right. So I want you to listen this morning. For those of you who are followers of Christ, your success in so many different spiritual avenues will be largely determined by what you decide ahead of time. And there are some things that you need to predetermine in your heart. There are some things that you need to decide now that no matter what happens in the future, you will always serve God. You will always worship Him. We've got to pre-decide. We've got to make that decision ahead of time. I give you an example. The Bible is clear that sex before marriage is sin and it's wrong. So some of you need to predetermine and say, you know, I'm going to wait until I get married to have sex. And I'm just going to just solve that. I'm not going to wait till I get into the back seat of a car and say, God, what am I supposed to do now? I'm going to make the decision now. I'm not going to get in that place. I'm not going to be put into that place of temptation. And you make a decision ahead of time. You need to resolve in your heart to wait. Some of you need to predetermine. You're not going to do some things that you used to do. Maybe you used to party all the time and now you're selling out to Christ. Whatever it is, I urge you, determine in your heart that you will not dishonor your body, which is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Predetermine in your heart not to be involved in discussions at your office. Maybe people are always trash-talking the opposite sex, or maybe they're always bashing the boss. And you just predecide and say, you know, when those things take place and those conversations begin to happen, I'm just not going to participate in that. I'll just go back to my spot. I'll go back to my office. I'm not going to participate in that. Maybe you're married. You might predetermine not to have intimate conversations with the opposite sex. Everybody else at work flirts with one another, but you decide. So I'm not gonna have those types of conversations. You predetermine what you're not going to do. Why? So that you can avoid unnecessary temptation. There are also some things you need to decide ahead of time that you will commit to do. For example, when I surrendered my life to Christ, I predetermined that I was going to be in church every week. Worship was going to be a priority for me. I knew that I needed the teaching of the Word of God. I knew that I needed that to empower my life. And so I just made a decision that when the church doors are open, when the church is meeting, you can count me in. I need to be there. I need to be a part of that. I pre-decided. I didn't get up on Sunday morning and say, well, am I going to go to church today? Because I can tell you there'd be some days I got it wrong. There'd be some days that I don't really feel it today. I'm tired. I've got this to do or that to do. But I just predecided and said, look, I'm predetermining that the church is gathering. I'm going to be there. I predetermined that I'm going to keep my eyes pure. I'm not going to look at things that might cause me to stumble. And you've got to decide ahead of time before the temptation comes. You've got to predecide in your heart to honor God. And let me tell you, when you do, you will stand out from the crowd. Friend, if you are never standing out, if you're always blending in with the crowd, then you cannot be fully following Christ. But these boys, Daniel and his friends, they did. They stood out. And they said, I have resolved in my heart, we will not eat this food that has been dedicated to the pagan gods. I think we kind of miss this. When you read this chapter, it sort of seems like this was just a one-time event. You know, we read this one short verse and we don't realize that these young boys stood out day in and day out for weeks and for months. For breakfast, they stood out. At lunch, every day, they stood out. At dinner, they stood out. And the next day, again, they stood out. They made one decision, and that one decision set them apart again and again and again. Church, if you are truly following Christ, if you're devoted to Christ, you will find that the closer you get to Him, the more often you're going to be standing out. And let me tell you, you'll not be ashamed. You'll not be ashamed because you realize all that God has done for you. So I want you to watch the wisdom of Daniel. Look in verse 12. Look what Daniel says to the leader who is above him. Daniel says, here's the deal. Please just test it for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. He says, look, we're not going to eat the meat. We're not going to drink the wine that has been dedicated to these pagan gods. Just give us water and vegetables. And then Daniel says, then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. And so the government leader agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the other young men who ate the royal food. Church, I love this. Instead of staging a big protest and saying, oh, no, you don't. We are believers in Yahweh and we refuse to eat this food that has been dedicated to these pagan gods. Instead of throwing a big fit or making a big scene, with wisdom, Daniel presented a plan. And his plan respected the authority of those above them. He just said, hey, can we try this? Can we give this a shot? You see, folks, you can stand out for the right things in the right way, or you can stand out for the wrong things in the wrong way. The choice is yours. And let me just say, there are many Christians who are standing out for the wrong things in the wrong way, and it happens all the time. They are the Facebook Bible police. I mean, anytime somebody says something, they're stabbing them with a sword. Well, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, and they're rude and they're angry all the time at everybody. And these people, they possess the spiritual gift of being annoying. Maybe some of you are standing out in the wrong way. We need to pray for one another. We need to stand out in the right ways and at the right time and for the right reason. But in order to do that, we've got to have wisdom. We've got to ask God, God, is this something that is worth standing for? Or is this something that's not that big of a deal? I can tell you this, if God's name is being insulted, then we need to take a stand. If God's name is being tarnished in some way, we need to stand out. Amen. And we need to stand up. Amen. When I was in seminary, I took a job with a company that made self-inking stamps and rubber stamps and notary seals. And I'd go to school in the morning and I'd hear this incredible teaching. Some of the most gifted preachers and teachers in our seminaries. And so I'd go to class and I was like a sponge and I was absorbing everything that I was hearing. And then I'd go to work in the afternoon and the workplace, a place where God provided a place for me. It was a rough place. There were not any other believers in that place when I first started working there except my boss. And most of the people I worked with, they were not believers. They didn't want to hear anything about God. And so I would go into work and I'd take my Bible and I'd take it out of my backpack and I'd set it on one of the shelves there in the department where I worked. And as I was working, I'd be maybe trying to memorize a scripture. And so I'd look at my Bible when I had a few minutes, and then I'd get back to work. Well, my supervisor said to me one time, he said, you know, he said, I wish you'd just shut that book. He said, I don't believe in it. I don't want to see it. And so my first thought, you know what it was? My first thought, it's a free country. I can do this if I want to. That was my first thought. My second thought was, I need to highlight a few verses that he needs to read, right? That was my second thought. Maybe when he walked by, maybe the scripture would just jump off the page and somehow he would be convicted and get saved. But as I prayed, it became very clear that my boss was asking me to do something and that I needed to honor him. And so I'm not going to stand up for this. I will put the Bible in my backpack. I will leave it there. Now, don't get me wrong. I witnessed every opportunity I had. But in that situation, I felt like the thing that God was leading me to do, the wise thing was to do what my supervisor had asked me to do. Now, after work, my coworkers, they would go to the bar, to a strip club, and they'd say, hey, Browning, why don't you go with us? I said, you know, I can't do that. It doesn't represent my values. It doesn't believe what God has called me to do. And so I can't participate in that. I can't go with you. I had to take a stand. Church, we've got to have wisdom. We've got to have the wisdom to seek God so that we will know to stand out in the right ways and at the right time and for the right reasons. The truth is, we all have opportunities, but we need to pre-decide that we are willing to be different for the honor of Christ. Look with me in chapter 1, verse 19. It says, the king talked with him, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You see, God gave these boys supernatural understanding. These young boys, they did better in school. Listen, if you want to do better in school, here's the key. Don't eat the cafeteria food that's been dedicated to pagan gods, right? We're going to have all these kids packing their lunch next month when they go to school. Mom, I can't eat that cafeteria food. God gave these boys the special ability to interpret dreams. And the result is they redirected the course of history. Why? Because they stood up for what mattered most. They predetermined that they were going to stand out in a culture of compromise. I wonder, what if Daniel and his friends, what if they'd compromised? What if they'd given in? What if they didn't have the courage to stand out? Well, I'll tell you what would have happened. Nothing. Nothing historic would have happened. Nothing God-sized would have taken place. Church, I would tell you, I would rather be remembered for standing out than forgotten for blending in. Wouldn't you? I would rather be remembered for standing out than forgotten for blending in. If you're always blending in, then you cannot be fully committed to following Christ. Remember, we don't stand out to make a statement. We stand out because God has called us to be different. And if the byproduct is a statement, then so be it. But we need to take our stand against the devil's schemes. We've got to put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth. Our shoes are prepared with the gospel of the readiness of peace. And we must take our stand against the enemy's attacks. And when we've done everything else, we will stand. Why? Because Jesus died for us. Friend, he has called us not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Friend, you cannot be a part-time Christian. You cannot be casual in your pursuit of Christ and still stand out and experience spiritual victory. My prayer is that God would lead each one of us to live our lives in such a way that we would bring him glory. And if that means being different and mocked, then so be it. Friend, God has called us to be different in a way that honors him. He wants us to be transformed in his presence by his Spirit and his Word so that our lives will bring him honor. Many of you this morning, many of you would say, I really want a spirit of boldness. I want God to grant me wisdom and courage to know when to take a stand and when to let it go. And when God shows me something that is worth it, I want the courage to stand up and to stand out so that I will be different for the glory of God. I want to share his love and share his heart with this world. And so you might want to pray this morning and just say, Lord, give me the wisdom and the courage that I can stand out at the right time and in the right way and for the right reasons so that my life will be a light in this dark world. Some of you need to ask the Lord, is there an area in my life, God, where I need to resolve or an area where I need to pre-decide to do something always or to never do something because I belong to you? It might be that you pre-decide to be sexually pure. It might be that you pre-decide that you're going to faithfully attend church. I encourage you to pray and resolve in your heart in advance to stand out and to honor God in all that you do. In fact, I believe God's speaking to some of you and you know what it is he wants you to do. You need to resolve in your heart that you're going to honor God with your attitudes and with your actions. Ask God to show you where to pre-decide, how to serve him. Ask God to give you wisdom so that you'll know when and the courage to stand out. And not to draw attention to you, but to honor God. Some of you are a part-time Christian. You're a casual Christian. I'm convinced some of you fit that description because I can tell you for a long time that was my life. That was my story. I was a cultural Christian. I went to church. I believed in God. The problem is the scripture teaches even the demons believe in God. Friend, believing in God doesn't mean that you know God. I had this head knowledge of God. I could tell you facts about him, a truth about him. But I didn't have a heart relationship with him. And some of you have that same thing going on in your life. You know about God, but you're not fully devoted to him. And the way that you can tell is that you're always blending in with the crowd. You're never standing out, not living a life that is set apart for Christ, but you're just always blending in, following the crowd. What does it mean to follow Christ? The Bible teaches that Jesus is the Son of God who came to this earth and showed us God's love. Jesus loved those whom the religious leaders turned their back on. He loved them where they were. And he When they turned from their sin, he forgave them. And he gave them life eternal. The scripture teaches that when you and I call upon Jesus as Lord, as manager of our life, he makes us new. He forgives every sin. And then we're filled with his Spirit. Our lives are transformed. Friend, are you ready to commit your life to Christ? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10:32. He said, "If you will not confess me before people on earth, then I will not confess you before my Father in heaven. If you confess me boldly before others, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven." Today is your day. Friend, this is your opportunity to take a stand. It's your opportunity to say, you know, I've not been following Christ. I have this head knowledge, but I don't have a heart relationship. I'm aware of my need for God's grace. I need his salvation. I'm willing to stand out. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anyone says. I want to experience God's unconditional love. So by faith, today I call on Jesus to save me. I'm willing to stand out as I surrender my life to Christ. And friend, if that's your prayer, then right where you are this morning, right where you are, you just cry out to him. You tell him. Say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new. I believe Jesus died for me and rose again so that I can live for you. God, fill me with your Spirit so that I can know you and serve you and follow you. Jesus, today, I give my life to you." And friend, after you pray that prayer, then go public. Let others know of your life-changing decision. Stand out and say, "I believe in Christ." The way that we do that at Friendship, in just a moment, we're going to stand to sing. And as soon as we begin singing, you meet me down front and let me know, let this church family know that you've decided to surrender your life to Jesus. Maybe God's leading you to join this church family. God's speaking to you about that. We'd love to have you a part as we continue to reach out to our community. Would you pray with me?